As I read through the attitudes of Jesus, I realize that it is not easy to be a Christian. I also realize that God has called us to be witnesses in the world, so that we can be salt and light in a world that is decaying. But in being salt and light in the world as God's children, it will not be easy. And so in the last of the Beatitudes, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Persecution, the gift that no one wants to receive, but which is part of being a Christian. It is inescapable. It is a gift that Christ has given to us. And so in this beatitude here, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 11, 10 to 12, Jesus Christ talks about persecution. And he tells us in this beatitude, first of all, the reason for persecution. He tells us the reality of persecution. And he tells us our response to persecution. So let us look at this again. Now, there are those, I must say, there are some who believe that verse 11 is another beatitude by itself. But I would prefer to take verses 10, 11, and 12 as one beatitude. So Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples, and there is the multitude who are in the vicinity of his voice. They can hear what he's saying. And Jesus Christ, in speaking to his disciples, in preaching this sermon on the mount, he is bringing in a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. And he's describing now the citizens of the kingdom of God and the blessedness of those who are God's children. And it's very interesting that he began by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then he ends the beatitude by saying, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So he begins with this note that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are poor in spirit. And he ends with the same statement that the kingdom of God belongs to those who are persecuted. And in the Old Testament, it is often those who are poor who are persecuted. In fact, today, it is often those who are poor who are persecuted. But Jesus Christ here is not only talking about those who are poor in material things, but is speaking of those who depend upon God for their spiritual sustenance. He's speaking of God's children who have come to faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be a Christian is to be persecuted. If you don't believe, read the history of the first early years of the Christian church. There were many who were martyred for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, the apostles themselves were killed for the gospel. They were persecuted. And Christians are persecuted today, even right now, in the city of Toronto. We are persecuted in different ways. So let us first of all look at the reason for persecution. Notice what Jesus says, Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Now notice that Jesus Christ does not say, blessed are those who are persecuted. Because people are persecuted for different things. People are maligned for certain things. But Jesus Christ makes it very clear that he is speaking of a different kind of persecution. He says those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And he repeats the same thing in different words in verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So Jesus Christ is saying here that those who are persecuted for his sake, for the sake of righteousness, are the ones who are blessed. Now, there are Christians who are maligned and accused, but not for the sake of Christ. And Peter, in his epistle, makes it very clear that when we suffer, when we are persecuted, we ought to be persecuted for the right reason. So notice in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so he might be echoing the words of Jesus here. In 1 Peter chapter 4, notice what Peter says around verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. Verse 14, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers, notice, as a murderer, or thief, or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. So Peter is saying here that as Christians, we ought to be careful that our suffering is as a result of being Christians for the sake of Christ. Not for stealing, not for doing anything that's contrary to the word of God. So if a Christian goes out, if a believer in Christ goes out and do something that is contrary to the word of God and he or she suffers for it, that person should not say that they are suffering for the sake of Christ. if a Christian goes down to Toronto and he or she takes ammunition with them and go to that abortion clinic right there on Jared and Jarvis Street and wait upon the doctors who comes out from this, the doctors who come out from this building and murder these doctors. That's not suffering for Christ. A person who does that in the name of Christ should end up in prison. Our suffering should be for the sake of Christ, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. So two words here. Persecution. That word literally means, the word persecution literally means to pursue someone to do them harm. To pursue someone with the intent of doing them wrong. The Apostle Paul was one who was a persecutor of the church. And he actually pursued Christians to kill them. And so those who persecute God's children are those who are hostile, those who pursue Christians to harm them. Those who are hostile towards the cause of Christ. That's what it means to be persecuted for righteousness, to face hostility for the cause of Christ. And righteousness here speaks of everything that God has commanded us to do, everything that is in subjection to the will of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness has to do with the character of the citizens of the kingdom of God. And may I say that righteousness is opposed to the system of the world. Righteousness, as far as the Bible is concerned, is opposite. It is different to the lifestyle and the principles of the kingdoms of the world. And that's very important because to be a Christian is to live and to be contrary to the ways and the things of this world. In other words, to be a Christian is to go against the tide of this world. We cannot be God's children and be like the world. And the righteousness that Jesus Christ speaks of here is a lifestyle that's different. These are principles that are contrary to the world. And so that's the reason why when Christians stand up for the truth as it is revealed in the scriptures, the world will not agree. Jesus Christ says that we should not be surprised when the world hates us because it hated him first. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 15 and verse 20. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 15, verse 20. Remember the world. Let me read from verse 18. If the world hates you, You know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, Jesus says, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. It says, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. It is inescapable to be a follower of Jesus Christ and not experience some form of persecution in this world. That's exactly what the disciples experienced, the early church, and all throughout the history of the Christian church. That's what God's people experienced. There is a Christian by the name of Polycarp. He lived in the early century of the church. I think maybe the 3rd, 4th century, I'm not too sure. Polycarp, he was 84 years old. And Polycarp was told to deny Christ, or else he will be murdered, as many Christians experienced. And Polycarp says, these 40 years, I have served my master and he never denied me. Why should I deny him now? And this 84-year-old Christian was put to death for his faith in Christ. There was a young lady also in the early church by the name of Perpetua. Some of you might have heard about her. And she became a Christian. She was a Roman who became a Christian. And when she became a Christian, her father pleaded with her to turn away from Christ, to give up her faith in Christ. And she would not. And at that time, she was pregnant. She must have been maybe about 18 years old or younger, and she was pregnant. And she did not deny her Christ, and because of that, she was thrown to the lions. And both she and her unborn child was killed for the sake of Christ. And there are many, many stories of Christians who are been persecuted for righteousness. But may I say that it is not just the world that persecutes Christians. Religious people. When you read the story of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, many times he encountered the religious leaders of his day, and they were the ones who actually put him on the cross. Those who were seeking to preserve their tradition. And it is also true today that it is not just the world that persecutes Christians, but religious people who do not believe in the Bible persecute the true followers of Christ. And there are many, many, I feel so ashamed to say this, but there are many so-called ministers who stand in the pulpit with the Bible open and flagrantly deny the inerrancy of the scriptures. And these same ministers, they rail and rally against those who proclaim the truth. And that's the kind of persecution that the church, I must say, in Canada and the United States and North America is experiencing today. Because we should not compromise the truth, God's word. Yes, we believe in justice for all, but we do not believe in justice for all at the expense of the truth of God's word. We believe that we should love all, but we don't love all at the expense of the truth of God's word. Or else we are not God's children. You see, notice carefully what Jesus says. Again, he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness." Persecuted for something, for righteousness. You know, it is one thing for God's people to be against certain things, but the question is, what are we standing up for? And so Jesus makes it very clear that it is only for the sake of righteousness, it is only for the sake of Jesus Christ that we ought to be persecuted as God's people. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are the ones who are in God's kingdom. These are the ones who belong to God. These are the ones who have placed their lives under the authority of God. Those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. That's kingdom living. And so that's why I said earlier that when God saved us, he saved us to be witnesses in this world. And if we are not witnesses in this world, then we would not be persecuted. Yes, we come to church to learn and to grow and to fellowship with one another, to encourage one another. But the Christian life does not end in the church, does not end with what we do here on Sunday morning. No, we go out, as it were, into the world and be witnesses and be ready to be persecuted for Christ's sake. So the reason for persecution is the righteousness of Christ, following him. And that's very real. It is true. Because notice, Jesus secondly talks about the reality. Notice in verse 11, "Blessed are you if people insult you." Am I reading the text carefully here? Not at all. Jesus did not say, "Blessed are you if." He says, "Blessed are you when people insult you." So persecution is inevitable for those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ in righteous living. That is the case because Jesus Christ himself experienced the same things that he says here. Notice in verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to the cross. He was insulted by the crowds, by the people. They spat upon him. They cast aspersions at him. He was insulted. He was denounced. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 44, we read there, he trusts in God, let God rescue him. Matthew 27 verse 43, let God rescue him now. If he delights in him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And verse 44, the robbers who had been crucified with him also were also insulting him with the same words. Jesus Christ, he was insulted. And those who are his disciples, his followers, will also be insulted. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Jesus says, because of me, because of Christ. Oh, the disciples experienced such insults and false accusations. The early church experienced false accusations. In fact, the early church, they gathered in catacombs. They gathered in houses. And the early church, they were called rebels. They were called atheists because they did not worship the kings. They did not worship Caesar. Therefore, they were called atheists. They were also referred to as those who drank blood because of the communion. They were insulted. They were despised. See, there are many Christians today who try to, you know, be like the world and try to avoid and hide the name of Christ and try to avoid persecution for Christ and insult. But if we are true followers of Christ, we should realize that it comes with following him, and you are not cursed. When the world curses God's children, let us remember that God has blessed us. When the world insults God's children, let us remember that God has promoted us. When the world denounces God's children, let us remember that God receives us. And so our acceptance does not come from the world, but it comes from God himself, what he says. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Verbal abuse. And many Christians who experience verbal abuse, physical abuse, social abuse, all for the sake of following the Lord Jesus Christ. But then lastly, let us look at our response to persecution. Jesus says in verse 11, Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, sorry, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. That's our response to persecution and suffering. Rejoice. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. You'll learn much about that, I think, in your Oasis Bible core group. Rejoice. Philippians chapter 4. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, we should rejoice. Why should we rejoice when we are persecuted, when Christians are persecuted for Christ's sake? Why should we rejoice? Why shouldn't we cry and have a pity party and be discouraged and despondent and give up? Why should we continue to serve Christ when the world despises us and denounces us? Why should we continue? Why don't we just say, I want nothing to do with the Bible, I want nothing to do with Christ, because if I don't follow him, then I will not be persecuted. My life will be simple and easy. I can live in the world, be part of the world, enjoy the things of the world, and I don't have to be persecuted. I don't have to go through this. I don't have to come to church and be among people who don't like me, and I don't have to come to church. I don't have to follow Christians. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, rejoice. But why should we? Well, first of all, Jesus says there is something in the future for us. There is something in the future for God's children. Notice what he says. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. So we rejoice in persecution today because there is something ahead of us. Our reward in heaven is great. It's very interesting. Jesus Christ does not tell us here what this reward is. He does not tell us what the reward is, but he describes the reward as great. Your reward in heaven is great. It is not useless to be a Christian. It is not in vain to experience suffering for Christ. There is a reward ahead for those who are persecuted for the sake of Christ. In fact, I believe there is a special reward for those who are persecuted for Christ. The Bible talks about the martyr's crown in the book of Revelation. Now, every child of God will receive a reward in heaven. Every Christian. But I don't think every Christian will receive the same kind of reward to the same extent. I believe firmly that to the measure that we gave our time, our life to Christ, our reward will be equivalent. If we give him little in this life, we would receive little in the life to come. If we give him much in this life, we shall receive much in the life to come. Those who serve him greatly here will be rewarded greatly in heaven. Isn't that a reason, a motivation to serve him here in this life greatly? Not because we're thinking of our reward in heaven, right? We serve him not because we're thinking that one day he's going to reward me greatly for the time I spend serving him in this life. No, we just do it because we love him. Oh, Christian friend, if you're here this morning and you're not doing anything for Christ, I plead with you, I beg you to do something for him, to give your life fully to him in serving him in bearing witness to him. Don't let your life be wasted away in the things of this life alone. Serve him now, and you will be rewarded greatly. Suffer for him now, and your reward will be great. Notice, not on earth. Notice what Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Oh, my friends, our reward is not in this life. Some of you might be working hard in church, outside of church, might be working with some religious institution, and you might be saying that your labor is useless. This is a thankless job, thankless ministry, because no one is recognizing your work here on earth. But realize that your reward is not on earth, but it is in heaven. See, the Pharisees and the scribes, they received their reward in this life because they lived to please themselves and to please others. But when we live to please God, our reward is not on earth in this life, but it is in heaven, and it is great. I'm glad Jesus Christ did not tell us what this reward is, that he kept it a secret, so that when we get there in heaven, we shall be blown away, if we could be blown away, because there will be nothing in this life to be compared with our reward in heaven. And the greatest reward in heaven, I believe, is to see him face to face. That is the greatest reward, to see our Savior, the one that we serve in this life. So we rejoice because there is something ahead of us, a reward. But we also rejoice because we look back also and realize that persecution is not new. See what Jesus says? Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. Sorry, your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Those who came before us, Jeremiah and Isaiah, Daniel, the great men and women of old who served God in ages past before us, they were also persecuted. They all suffered for Christ's sake. And so what Jesus is saying here to us is that persecution is not new, that we are not alone. And the problem is not with the church. The problem is not with those who live for righteousness. The problem is not with those who live for God. The problem is not those who read the Bible and seek to obey God's word and are persecuted. The problem is not with Christians in this life. The problem is with those who oppose God and the Bible. And so persecution is not new. It is old. Jesus says, for so they persecuted the prophets who came before you. And me. And all of us here. God's children were always persecuted. It is not new. So don't be discouraged. You might be in a home where you are the only Christian and all your other relatives are unbelievers. And they condemn you, they denounce you. They denounce your Christian faith, and you are the only one who is a child of God in their midst. You might be in a certain workplace where you are the only Christian. You are the only one who reads the Bible and believe in God's word, and you are persecuted. You might be in a school where you are the only Christian in your class. You might be a teacher who is the only Christian, the only follower of Christ. And you are not allowed to open the Bible. Don't give up. There were teachers who were persecuted before you. There were family members who were persecuted before you. There were workers where you're working right now who were persecuted before you. You are not the only one. But just remember that when you are persecuted for the sake of Christ, it means that you belong to Him. This is a mark of your Christianity. This is a mark, an emblem of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes with a territory. Because the disciple is not greater than his or her master. If they persecuted him, they will persecute us. And you know what? He went to the cross. The ultimate form of insult, the most despicable form of death, persecution. And when the Romans crucified someone on the cross, they're sending a message to others that if you disobey the laws of the land, you will experience the same thing. But that should not bring us fear. Because Satan's intent is to cause us to become fearful so that we would give up. But the very persecution that he believes would cause us to turn away from Christ is the very means God uses to bless us and to assure us that we belong to him. So you might be going through some trials right now in your life for the sake of Christ, for the sake of righteousness. And you might be thinking of giving up. Don't give up. Because your persecution, your experience right now is a demonstration that you are a child of God. So continue to stand up for righteousness. Stand up for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us continue in this together as God's people. Don't give up. And let us encourage one another, knowing that we shall be rewarded when we get to heaven. For Christ's sake, amen and amen.